Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 22 of Utopia to Me with me. Yeah, your host, Chris Locke. Good to see you again. Trust me, I can see you right now. You look great. You're taking care of yourself, drinking lots of green tea. I appreciate that. Thanks. You know, don't want to see people that drink not a lot of green tea. This is a great episode. I'm really excited for it. It's Sarah Schaefer, who's a very funny stand-up from the States, who was visiting Toronto recently, and I got to hang out with her at the Weston Harbor Castle, all the way down by the Lake Ontario there. And she's cool. We're gonna get to her in a sec, but I just want to tell you that I'm really lucky to be alive because I had really bad food poisoning recently, and then I almost died, and then I had to cancel a ski trip. So I'm very happy to introduce this episode right now. Please write in tons of messages, be like, oh my God, I'm so glad you're alive. That'll make me feel a lot better. But man, if you've ever had food, I think I just ate raw turkey by accident, honestly. When I tried to detective case it and go back and was like, you know what? That might have been still pink, and that's it. And then 4 or 5 days of your life is written off on the couch watching kung fu movies, being like, hit him, and then you have to run to the bathroom. But listen to me. Sarah Schaefer is amazing. We had so much fun chatting. She's from the show Nikki and Sarah Live on MTV in the States. She wrote for Fallon. She's actually wrote for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which I shouldn't give too much away, actually. She says all this in the interview, and that one really surprised me. But we had so much fun, and she just recorded an album, so keep an eye out for that. But we're going to get right to it. I'm alive. I'm not eating. I'm overcooking my turkey these days, and you should too. Overcook your turkey and drink green tea and listen to this amazing episode right now with Sarah Schaefer. We go to her utopian world. Enjoy.
Go.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Okay. Me too, I think. Had a green tea. I'm super jazzed.
Mm-hmm.
You let me use your bathroom. That was very nice.
Yeah, we're in my hotel room.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen listening, this is the guest today is Sarah Schaefer from New York, but then L.A., now
yeah,
L.A.?
Yeah, I live in L.A. now. I'm originally from Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Which is sort of the birthplace of the United States of America.
Yeah. That's where the vagina is?
Yeah, it's where the vagina of the United States is, which is why it's called Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Then I lived in New York for like 13 years doing comedy, and then I moved to LA last year to get some sunshine and a little bit of luxury for myself. New York makes you so tired.
Yeah. I go there sometimes, and it's funny when you show up at a bunch of the shows. Comedians always show up with messy hair and dirt on their face, and everyone's tired,
just beaten down. Just physically. I'm amazed how quickly I have sunken into a lazier lifestyle. Even though LA is supposed to be super healthy and you know whatever.
Yeah.
But I just remember just to go to a show in New York involved, you know, either advanced planning in the morning because I was coming from a job or whatever.
Right.
Or to involve leaving my apartment, walking 7 minutes to the subway, then, you know, the subway ride, then
it's
getting out, walking.
It's a lot of subway.
Yeah. A lot of stairs. And, you know, after 13 years of that, I was pretty much done. And you're living in a hole. You're paying a lot of money for a very small apartment. And, you know, New York used to be a mecca for artists and, you know, creativity, and I don't know if that is, it's so hard to live there.
I keep hearing that now. People think it's done in a way.
Yeah, Moby wrote a really good piece about artists.
So Moby's a good writer too.
He is. He does it all. he's a really cute bald man. He made the move to LA, and he wrote an article about how LA is a really great place for artists right now, and there's such a vibrant art scene. And I agree with that.
That's good.
You know, and there's tons of comedy shows popping up. Like, and a lot of the New York comedians have come to LA, so they understand how to do shows in the New York style, which is keep them short, make them cheap, book a lot of comedians. Like, where I think you know, maybe LA was kind of more maybe in a club mentality. I don't know. Exactly. But somebody did say that to me, that the influx of New York comedians has improved the stand-up scene.
Or a lot of the comedy was like, even in the quote-unquote indie shows or whatever, a lot of it was almost character-driven more than set-up punchline.
When I first went to L.A., the first time I went to L.A. and was doing shows, I remember being at a show in a little room that was connected to the improv. These were like, you know, your Hollywood comedians doing their thing. And I was getting the younger group in the little side room.
Right.
And I remember a few of them, I was like, clearly your agent told you to go be a stand-up, that it would help you get roles. Like, these were actors, like, trying
get
to...
get a blazer, just be hacky, a stand-up.
Yes, blazer, hacky as hell. Yeah. You know, and I think now that I live there, I've been able to discover, you know... There's some awesome, awesome shows.
Yeah.
They're continually popping up.
I was just there in May.
Yeah.
I think I'm going back in March. Can I just say, I lived for 3 weeks in Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Were you near there by any chance?
I was a little south from there in Richmond.
Okay.
And, but I'm going to be in Arlington in just a couple weeks doing shows.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, that place was cool. I really didn't get to do stand-up there. I was writing a weird movie with some other comedians in D.C., but they kept us in Arlington to live for that 3 weeks.
D.C. is awesome. Nice. I really like D.C.
But I didn't get any. I didn't do any stand up there. I was just inundated with the work on this show. But
yeah,
I love it out there.
Yeah, good audiences. Like, it's a smart, sophisticated town.
Yeah.
You know,
where are you doing your show there?
Arlington Draft House, but cinema Draft House or Brew House is something. Where you know,
I saw a lot of stuff there.
A lot of comedians go through there. I've heard it's a good place.
Cool.
To perform at.
So all right.
I'm looking forward to that.
If there's anyone that listens to this brand new podcast, Canadian podcast,
Canada.
There are people downloading in America already. So thanks for that. But if you're in Arlington, tell all your friends.
Yeah, man.
And if you're in Canada, just imagine how beautiful Arlington is.
Yeah, just think about that.
It's a bit warmer than here.
It is a bit... the winters aren't as harsh.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, so...
the lake is freezing over.
Let's go over some of your awesome credits before we get into building your world.
Well, this is my perfect world where people just describe my accomplishments to me.
Case closed. Yeah, Sarah's Utopia. Listing off her creds.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
My resume is my heaven.
But I did meet you briefly in New York in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't remember. There's so many bearded, schlubby comedians that roll through.
As soon as I saw your face, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy.
Yeah, this guy.
I mean, do I remember exactly what was said between us? No.
Oh, really? I do. It was amazing.
You're like, you were a bitch. Well, of course, no. You're like, I brought you here to murder you.
Yeah. You
said revenge is mine.
Yeah. You said exactly, you'll never catch me dead in L.A. No, but so at the time I met you, was Rubber Bullets was the show that Scott Moran was running in the Lower East Side.
Mm-hmm.
And you were... head blogger for Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
Yes,
that's
the
cool
job title.
Yeah, that's the job title. What did that entail totally?
Well, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon was definitely the first late night show that ever embraced the internet in the way that it has. You know, I remember when I first start my first conversation with I had gotten the job and I but I wasn't started yet and I was traveling and I had to get on the phone for a conference call to talk to the NBC Digital folks about what the online plan was going to be for Fallon. And I remember this is how quickly things have changed. In that conversation they were like, Twitter is dangerous, like we don't really want to, you know. Like, they were scared of Twitter. They
2010
were
Twitter? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, this was 2009.
Oh, 2009? Oh, yeah, there
the
you go.
The show hadn't started yet. Jimmy wanted to start the show online.
Mm-hmm.
He did a piece every night at the same time the show would air.
Oh,
a video and post
I remember
it.
That.
And I was, like, producing those.
Oh, cool.
And they had done some before I got there, but once I got in, I took over producing those, posting them, and all that stuff. And
cool.
I mean, within a few months... You know, and Jimmy was like, no, I'm doing Twitter. I'm doing all of this.
Yeah.
And even then, like, we wouldn't put anything
see the
on
potential.
YouTube. Now they put everything on YouTube.
How I watch the show, basically.
Yeah,
I watch the clips.
It's really interesting how quickly it's changed and how that job, you know, the people that work in that department that I was in, how, like, at first we were, like, writing our own pieces that went on the blog. We were part of the writing crew, basically. Like, yeah. We went to the writers. We were very embedded with the show.
I just thought of another weird connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 2010, when I was there, and I just met you briefly at that show, I was also visiting my friend Tim McAuliffe, who was writing on the show.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Tim.
Isn't that crazy?
Him. Yeah.
And he was the one that I was working with, him and Nathan Fielder. We were in Arlington together.
In Arlington. Okay.
Isn't that so weird?
I love Tim.
I didn't even put that connection together.
He writes for a TV show now, doesn't he?
I think so. He's always doing that.
He's always doing something.
Yeah, yeah. He's amazing.
I was watching either Parks or Modern Family or something, and I saw this episode.
Yeah, he's always busy. He's a very talented writer, yeah.
Connection. Yeah. We built that. And, I mean, the job became, by the end of the time I left, it was far less creative and more just about the machine of getting the show online and sharing it. And,
yeah.
You know, and there was always creative. You know, I got to interview, like, almost any guest that was willing backstage. So I met all these, like, met heroes of mine. And
who,
like,
was the craziest one? That you can think of.
Morgan Freeman was like asleep sitting up. Like when I came into the room, like he just was, you could just tell he was like, I've had it with all this bullshit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I like got to.
How old is he? He's almost weirdly this.
He's older,
but he's,
yeah.
I mean, you can't tell.
He's definitely looks like he's probably in his upper 60s, 70s, yeah. Maybe. Like, you know, he's definitely getting up there.
That's
sorry
so funny.
If he's only like 50.
But you really enjoyed meeting him because it was neat because he was asleep.
He was just sort of like, I'm over it. Like, and Tina Fey was amazing. You know, like,
Yeah.
I got to meet some of my heroes that was just like, you know, and I was only in there for 5 minutes and just doing a quick little interview. But, it was really cool to be in that job it was incredibly stressful, and I eventually had to leave. But
yeah, and then you did the show with MTV.
Yeah,
Nikki Glaser.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say Glaser or Glaser?
Glaser.
Glaser. Yeah, yeah. I met her this year at JFL 42.
Yeah. Fallon to I wanted to be a writer on the show, which they kept kind of dangling the carrot, but then they never give it to me, and so it's just like, you know what, I gotta
find some more
I'm
carrots.
A comedian, like I'm not a blogger, and like the job was changing so much that I was just like,
you're like, I need to actually eat the carrot.
Yeah, exactly. Eventually, I need to. If I stay here, I'll always be this job. You know, like I will. And the schedule was so crazy. I mean, I was working like 12 hours a day. I had to be online during the show airing every night, which was like, so I had to be home.
Yeah.
In time and be. I had every night. I had to get home and work.
That's insane.
You know,
after work.
After work. So it was really stressful. And I didn't have very much time to work on other things. So I was like, I've got to get out of here. So I got a job writing for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which was
really
insane. Yeah. I wrote questions for them. And
that's cool.
I wrote for one season. And it was just.
Did you write the funny Snoop question where the answer was drizzle?
I don't think so.
Oh, man, that's funny.
I don't know. I was so many questions that I couldn't even. I remember a few that I don't even know if I can tell you because I'm not sure.
Did you meet? What's his name?
No, it was Meredith Vieira.
Oh,
was the
at
host the
time?
I was
okay.
There. And I only met her once because they kept the writers sequestered from the production because
weird.
It had to be secret.
Like, I see.
Anyone who had contact with contestants could not be in contact
right, because we're talking about $1 million here.
$1 million is on. They took it very seriously. You couldn't work from home.
What's the guy's name? How did I forget? The old man, that's funny.
Regis
Philbin. Yeah. Jesus.
But yeah, it was a fascinating, cool job. It was like 10 to 5. I was out of there. You know,
oh,
like,
cool.
Great money. It was in the Writers Guild, so it was a great move. And then during that time, I was able to have time to figure out this TV show idea with Nikki.
Yeah.
And we pitched it, and magically we got to do it, which was crazy. So like, leaving Fallon was the smartest move I've ever made, and like, you know. I went, you know, all I wanted was to write for him or to do stand up on the show and be validated in that way. Their approval meant so much to me. And then the moment I leave 9 months later, I got my own pilot for my own talk show.
Right. That's amazing.
So whenever anyone's like down and out, I'm like, just give it time.
But also the work for Fallon helped you get to that spot
absolutely,
too, right? Where
like,
people trusted you.
And the networking that it gave me. I mean, there were connections between Fallon and some of the executives at MTV.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I was validated in their eyes.
Nice.
You know? And it was everything. When I started the job at Fallon, some of my peers in New York, I think they turned their nose up at the idea of, A, working for him, because there were some people who didn't think he was funny. And I'm like, look at him now. He's killing it. And I think there were some people who thought...
Well, he's a different kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean,
I could see how stand-ups might be better, but...
Exactly.
He's just he's just an outgoing...
You know, and there's some stuff they do that is extremely... And he is very good. I mean, whenever he does impressions or the songs, I'm just like, that's where he belongs. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah, you forgot he was so good at that, like on SNL and stuff.
Yeah. But we just basically, like in the beginning, I remember I was hiring my team of bloggers. Like I got to hire my own people and cool. I asked a few comedian friends of mine and some of them were like, no, it's not really for me. And I was just like, mm-mm.
Whoa, where are they now?
Mm-hmm.
They're dead.
They're dead.
They're toast.
They killed themselves.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They're like that frozen homeless guy in Scrooge, just like living under the street. You remember that?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
You're like, sorry, man.
No.
I gave you a chance.
That's what happens, man. I was the ghost of your future and you didn't take my hand.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to see your show with Nikki, but I've seen clips of it and you guys are super funny.
Thank you.
It was good. So that'll... And now you're in the past that, and that will lead to some, that rep will lead to more stuff.
It is definitely giving me credit. Like I was telling you earlier, I'm pitching a TV show right now. And it gives me credibility when I come in the room and like, you know, they know I can handle my own show and like that I can produce and create a new show and be on camera and do all the things that are involved in creating your own show.
Well, I'll say you can.
I can do it. It's hard too. Cause like Nikki and I don't really, work together anymore. We just sort of like, I moved to LA and it was just like,
is she still in New York?
Yeah. I think she might be moving to LA. I don't know. She just shot a pilot in
LA. But you guys did your thing and it was successful.
We'll always be friends and linked, but you know,
I used to work with Nathan Fielder all the time now. Mm-hmm. And for some reason he's just a celebrity all of a sudden. So, yeah, I get that.
You get it. but, yeah, she, you know, after Nikki and Sarah ended, I was I moved to LA. That was sort of like, that took up some time. And then when I got out there, I was like, all right, what do I want to do? And I was getting a lot of offers in the beginning for like red carpet, like wacky red carpet and sort of hosty, you know, The View or things like that. And, which are all cool things, but I was like, I don't know if I want that. I want to do a show that's like a comedian's show. I want to do something in the Daily Show.
Can you give us an idea?
I want to do something that would be, here's how I would describe it. Something that, even though this would be very hard to get to, because you have to get through all the hoops and then it has to be loved. Something that could be nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah.
I want to do that type of show. I want to do a scripted show or I want to do a comedy that is like Emmy level, you know, like,
That'd be cool.
I'm talking about in terms of tone and like substantiveness, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
you want to do
Nikki and
Sarah's
would never
Breaking
have been nominated
Bad
for an Emmy, you know, like, I mean, you know, I think,
what about a show where a comedian starts making meth? In New Mexico.
Some crazy hijinks. That sounds like a good idea. Doing that was sort of changing the direction of the ship. And that took a really long time. So, like, I have felt a little behind and slow as to what I thought I would be at this point. But I was like, it's worth the wait.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have stand-up that can support me now.
Totally.
I can wait these things out and just see if I can get that type of show going. If I can't, then, you know, I mean, I'm doing a pilot for Travel Channel that's like real fluff. It's you know, me.
Personality driven.
It's like a man on the street. It's almost like Cash Cab, but for traveling.
Yeah.
You know, it's like me in front of private. It's a game show on Travel Channel and I'm shooting the pilot for it. And like, you know, luckily they're really allowing flexibility like that. It's, you know, I don't have to host it if it gets picked up.
So like on the top of Machu Picchu or something, you're like, hey, you guys want to win $1,000?
That'd
be amazing.
I'm not sure exactly. Like, this just is getting figured out. And like, I'm shooting it for them and I'm helping them out. And like, you know, it would be a great backup plan. Like, if these other things don't work out, you know, it's like,
you'll always have options like that coming up.
That's what's so exciting is like, I'm going to hold out.
And your stand-up and touring and all that will always be informing the new projects because people will keep seeing your humor.
Exactly.
Different. So, you'll meet new people too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm really excited. Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
I think that's cool. And I wish you the best of luck. But now
No, but now let's get into some fantasy.
It sounds like you said, this is, maybe this was your utopian world mm-hmm. where you just get to talk about all your goals mm-hmm. and your successes. Mm-hmm. But really, let's take you out of this world yeah. now mm-hmm. and let's build a more utopian world yeah. according to Sarah Schaefer. Okay. Is that cool?
Yes.
Now,
guide me.
Yeah. Virginia, mm-hmm. New York, LA. What would your perfect utopian environment be like in your world?
Montana.
Really?
Like Paradise Valley, Montana. Very specific.
Okay. Yeah. I've never been there, but that was,
it's right,
you were
on
quick
the
on the
border
draw with
of Yellowstone.
That.
It's yeah. about 30, 45 minutes from Yellowstone. It is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
Isn't that where Ted Turner like owns most of it?
Yeah. Like I think a lot of celebrities, there's a movement in Montana that it's, a lot of celebrities have gotten involved where people are buying land.
Yeah.
And they make an agreement to
keep it real,
to not farm that land. There's a limited amount of horses they can have. There's a limited amount of, they can't, you know, like it's a movement of buying land and preserving it naturally.
So Montana is basically going to be like a safe haven when the shit goes down.
Love it. I love yeah. it. I just, even though I love city and I love my career is my baby. It's, you know, my life. And
yeah.
There's a huge part of me that wants to run away and live on a ranch and never deal with any of this again.
Totally.
I think
relatable.
About it all. I have actually looked at land.
Like ranch with horses?
Like how much money do I need to get out of all of this?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, can I say before? Yeah. I saw your Modern Comedian mini doc like online.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay now?
Yeah.
Is it taken care of?
MTV took care of it.
Oh,
yep.
Thank you, MTV.
Season one helped wipe it out. And then season two.
If you guys don't know what I'm referencing, watch the Modern Comedian documentary with Sarah. She was in a mega debt.
Yeah, I was in like close to 60 grand in debt.
That makes me feel uncomfortable.
Like not student loans, like credit card.
Yeah.
Like I had some.
Well, you describe
loans.
It in the doc. Like
yeah,
you're just
I break
like, if
it
I
down.
Want something, I actually just go and get it.
Yeah.
I find a way to get it.
I do. I still have that in me.
Yeah.
But I.
You
also
learned your lesson.
What?
You learned your lesson.
I learned my part. Lesson. I hope. I mean, this past year was such a like tumult, like kind of slow year that I had burned through a lot of my savings, but I'm still okay. You know, it's like, but it's scary because it's like, I can't go back.
Hey,
to
you're
that.
Here touring in Toronto. Can't be that bad.
Yeah, man.
Toronto's a hot
you know,
city.
Making
some
good
dough.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in Montana.
Yeah.
And your debt is gone mm-hmm. from before.
Yeah, I own land.
But in this world, in your utopian world, who gives a shit about money, right?
Well, yeah.
But in real life, you're saying you would, mm-hmm. you are actually looking like how much would it cost to live there?
Yeah, I would love to like retire to a Western environment.
Do you like horses?
I like horses from like maybe 15 feet away. Like I don't, they're just giant beasts.
Yeah.
That's kind of scare me a little bit. Like I rode one when I was really little and I was like, no.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
Yeah, I was on
I
one that
mind
freaked
them
out
being around, but I don't want to take care of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Deal with poop and other stuff. I'm
maybe you can
like,
just have like a horse guy that goes and.
Well, yeah, of course I'm going to have a ranch manager.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to be doing.
It'll be like a pool boy sort of. You just get to watch this hot guy stroke your
my
horse.
My Wesley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be, I think, you know, that, okay, so that would be my, you know, utopia.
Environment.
And then.
And what would your ranch house, you'd have a ranch house?
Oh, yeah, multiple houses on the property. And.
So we're talking like long, beautiful vistas of like mountains, snow-capped mountains, mm-hmm. woods,
but
lakes.
But I'm close enough to a small town, you know, that I can go and get a beer at the lodge.
And you still want some shops.
A few shops. We know everyone, you know, that light, and there are obviously a lot of people who live that lifestyle already.
Yeah,
but I think
rich.
It would be great. Yeah, they're they're rich or they are working real hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I would love to have, like, honey that I, like, bring to my neighbors and, like, you know.
So you're making, are you making the honey on your ranch?
Some Wesley would handle that.
Wesley? Oh, thanks, Wes. Yeah.
Wesley.
Is he ever wearing a shirt? Or
no, he's not wearing a shirt. I mean, in the wintertime, I allow him to put on, you know, like a really great pea coat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of your choosing for sure.
Yeah.
Put this on, Wesley, and tend to the bees.
Go tend to the bees. I would love to get my hands dirty and learn all those things, but I have a lot of fear.
Yeah.
I have
of bees and horses so
I
far.
I have fear of wilderness.
Okay.
When I went, this all came from, I went to Yellowstone, and I've never been more afraid. and felt so small and insignificant and vulnerable than I did in that park
because
it's an enormous amount of wilderness that is untouched, and you're in there with the animals. I mean, I grew up in Virginia.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's similar in Toronto if you're living in the city proper.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of animals.
No.
And when you do, it's like they're scurrying away and it's rare, you know.
We have a big park up north called Algonquin.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 3-4 hour drive.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. You can all of a sudden be like, oh, I'm in a bear's lair.
Right. You know, when you get in, you know, and I was thinking when we went to Yellowstone, I was like, all right, we're going to see. I was like, it's going to be beautiful. But I lowered my expectations just because anytime I've ever tried to see an animal in the wild, it never worked out.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I'm going to see one buffalo like the whole time. That's what I thought. Drive into the park, no joke. Almost immediately, we're in a herd of buffalo in the car. And like there's babies. And
really?
Like, I saw probably 25 different species of animals like in the course of 3 days. Like it was, but I felt we went on hikes that were deep in the park.
Is it like cougar or something?
I saw bears, black and grizzly.
Like just free?
Out. And you're not allowed to interact with them at all. If you see an animal killing another animal, you cannot engage. You can't, like the rules there are like.
Yeah, you can't be like, hey guys, break it up.
You have to stay. Yeah, you can't be like, no, the baby deer, no. No, you have to watch
it. What are you doing?
I watched a fox eat a baby deer. Like I could hear it ripping the skin. Like it was, I was probably maybe about 50 feet away. But.
That'd be funny if you just, instead of breaking up that, you just went up close and dashed some pepper on the deer for the fox.
like fresh pepper? And like grind it on there.
Like, you might like this. Trust me.
No, you're going to want it.
Wow. Yeah, that is freaky for sure. That's too close for comfort.
And gazelles and like, you know, just, I mean, I don't even know what they're called. I think gazelles are African, but they looked like gazelles.
Yeah. That's a gazelle. Whatever.
Antelopes for sure.
That'd be funny if you said, isn't that a gazelle? And the thing looked at you like, come on.
Yeah, really? Do some research. Big ram, bighorn sheep.
Yeah.
One was just standing, like, on a car. Like,
really?
In the parking lot, and we were like, whoa! Like,
I need to go.
It is.
This is more wild than Algonquin by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Canada has plenty of places that are very wild.
Oh, yeah. It's mostly
wild. But in America,
wild.
There's nowhere like this. I mean, this is truly wild, and so, it's massive.
Okay, yeah.
And then they've got all the crazy, the geysers, and the it's just an amazing
place.
That's
what I think of. And then I also think of, like, that's where they based Jellystone on for Yogi Bear.
They've got those little like station wagons driving around the park that look like Yogi Bear.
Oh, really?
Those, like, you know that car he drives in?
Yeah.
It's funny.
Cool.
But anyway, I love it.
So in Montana, you don't want, because it's a wildernessy. We're talking about expansive, beautiful
wolves
wilderness.
Are, you know, reintroduced, but, and you know they're out. They're,
yeah, but you know. Stay away from me is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm.
Or Wesley, get your gun.
Yeah, Wesley, please take care of it.
Cool.
I love animals. I love nature. I'm scared of it, which is why I think I want to
embrace it.
Embrace it, because I think life would be more vibrant. I would be alive.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, most people in our generation feel the need to get back to nature because we're in front of the computer all the time and in a city, right?
Yeah.
But then we forget that nature will eat us most of the time.
I was real scared. You know, just on a hike, just being, because we were so deep into the park at that point. I'm like, if something went wrong, we're toast.
No cell phone reception.
Yeah, no, nothing. We got lost at one point. I mean, it was scary. I was like, this is how people die.
How long were you guys there?
A week.
Wow.
Yeah.
A week of really digging in.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't camp. You know, I didn't go that far. Come on now. I need a bed.
Oh, really? Do they have cabins or something?
We rented a house on the border of the park, outside of it.
Oh, okay.
But there's lodging in the park. We stayed at Old Faithful Inn for one night, and it was amazing. It's like a log cabin, but a hotel.
Yeah.
So it's a huge log structure. And the lobby is like 8 floors up of just log rafters, and they have a fireplace
that's
like the size of this room. And, you know, like, it's a cool.
Wow.
And, by the way, Old Faithful, it's one of the, I compare it to like the David, the statue.
Yeah.
That you've seen.
It's got a small penis.
Yes, it does have a small penis. If you've seen the image, the image has been reproduced so much. Old Faithful, we've seen it in pictures and movies so much that you don't understand the scale of it. And then when you get there, you're like, oh, that thing is gigantic. Like, it goes, it's like up a 20-story building, like in the that thing shoots out of the.
How far away do you have to be when you look at it?
Pretty far.
Wasn't there a fear like this year or last year about something like it was going to explode or something?
Well,
or,
Yellowstone is on a super volcano, and it's active. It will erupt at some point during, and it will probably destroy.
Were you worried about that too?
Oh yeah.
You're like, I'm in the most vulnerable part of America right now. Yeah.
Because everyone, this is my thing. I would love to die in a massive apocalypse. Not later, but like right away. Like the initial impact. Like,
oh, really?
Because I would love to die with a bunch of other people. Because then like nobody else gets to keep living and having fun. We all just, you know.
Well, you don't think the idea of being like.
You see how selfish that is? Yeah. I don't want anybody else to continue having fun. I want to go with everybody.
Well, I was just.
I'm less alone, I think.
I was interested that you don't want to become a warrior that's like learns how to protect your fresh honey or something.
Well, I have that fantasy too. I have the fantasy, the post-apocalyptic fantasy, which is very based on Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which is me with a group of men. Yeah. Me with a group of men.
And I'm you like and
one
a group
of the
of
only
men.
Women,
and you're like, come on, guys.
I've joked before that I think I wish Walking Dead was just them foraging and farming. Like, because I'm such a girl, I'm like, I just want to see them making a life for themselves within the prison walls.
Yeah,
like, you know, I want to see their carrots.
The zombies kind of ruin it. Yeah.
Well, now the show, the humans are ruining it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting weird. I'm all caught up. Don't worry.
But yeah, I. I have many levels of fantasy, but I think being killed by a super volcano. I mean, what a great way, because you're returning to the source. You're melting.
Do you think in the moment of being killed by the super volcano, you would feel glee or fear?
I don't know.
You would die going,
I feel like
cool.
It's like, I think about this a lot when I'm on a plane. I'm like. Okay, if shit goes down, I mean, I'm gonna die instantly, or I'm gonna just have a moment where like the plane has been torn apart and we are all gonna die.
Yeah,
and I will probably just
I think about that a
just
lot.
Just go and just let it happen.
Yeah,
and be relieved.
Yeah, when I first started flying a lot again for comedy, like years ago, I had the fear because I hadn't flown.
Oh, I used to be so afraid of flying, but now I'm not.
But now it instantly goes like this. What was that? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so like.
It's all about. Yeah. If people who fly a lot, I wonder if they did a psychological study. This is actually something I think they should do because it'd be interesting. They may have. People who fly a lot, like regular commuters or, you know, people who are just on a plane a lot, if they have a different psychological outlook on life, or that they can handle stress better or something, because every time you're on a plane, unless you're someone who is just so dull to the world,
right, it's a little nerve-wracking.
You have to let go of control.
Exactly, yeah.
Because you can't fly that thing. You can't, you're up in the air. You could just, if anything goes wrong, chances are you're going to die.
Yeah.
It's very rare, but when you're in a car, you feel like I'm in control.
Right.
But
that was
really
one of my issues in
you're
my 20s.
Not at all. It's all a lie. You know,
yeah, in my 20s, I was like, maybe if I was flying the plane, I'd feel better. It is a control thing, for
yeah,
sure.
It's a control thing. It's like, you know, because if you were flying, you would go, oh, I hit that bump and I know what it is. But when you're in the back, you're just like, we just fucking hit a bump?
yeah.
You know.
Like you go up to the front like, hey, pilot, do you know about that bump?
you know when like they are talking about letting people use cell phones on planes, like it's possible and they're looking into making it possible for people, and everyone's like, oh, that would be terrible, people talking on the phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it is going to be terrible because you're going to have to deal with me saying goodbye to my family and friends every time there's turbulence.
Yeah, you're just going to, that's totally good. Do you have a bit about that?
Yeah, I have a
you
little
should.
Bit.
It's really good.
I used to have a bit because it doesn't apply anymore. It makes me sad. It was one of my favorite jokes where, like, and I guess I could redo it to fit what the rules are now, but it used to be that I would say, like, I was on the plane and the lady, the guy next to me was listening to his music on iPhone, and the lady came by and said, sir, it's time to turn your phone off.
Yeah.
And then he turns to me and he's like, like me turning off, like leaving my phone on is going to really bring the plane down.
Oh,
then,
I've seen that bit actually.
And then I scream. Yeah. Yes, it is!
Yeah, yeah. I saw you. I think I saw a clip of you doing that bit at UCB, I think.
Yeah, I have very little of my stand-up is online.
Was that Whiplash?
Yeah. But yeah, I...
Shout out to Jeremy.
Jeremy Levenmout.
So I want to ask you another thing. In this beautiful, peaceful Montana vista, beautiful scape, mm-hmm. Wesley's taking care of all the shittiness.
And I want to say, this is, because this is like, I can create whatever I want.
Yeah, and you can.
This is specifically Wesley from Princess Bride.
Oh, that? I didn't know which Wesley. This Wesley.
Boy. It's him.
Oh, great. Carrie L. West.
It's
Carrie. He looks like Carrie, however you say his last name.
It's the actor, but, you know, in my utopia, he would be Wesley.
You know, I was working in a coffee shop 15 years ago, and he came in, used lactate milk. That's what I know about Carrie Elwes.
That tells you something. He's a farter. He farts when he has dairy.
Wesley farts. Okay, and there's a town nearby with some shops and for you to get a beer, pint with some
local
atmosphere.
Buddies. Yeah.
How many people in, like, population-wise total in this utopian world?
I never know what populations are supposed to be.
Yeah. Go with your gut.
I would say around 3,000 is a great number.
It's cozy.
3,000 is how big my college was, the undergrad.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
William & Mary in Virginia.
Okay.
And...
Are you still going to be a comedian in this world, by the way?
No.
Okay.
No, we'll be released from those shackles.
No one's ever said that yet.
No, I would not be a comedian. I would be completely content.
I like that your utopian world, you don't need to be a comedian.
Yes.
That's how you feel.
I would be content in living off the land. My life would be just surviving.
Yeah.
And human relationships.
Yeah.
Maybe I was the funny one in town, you know, but I wouldn't feel the need to, you know, set up an open mic or some shit.
Right. Just take it easy.
Mm-mm. I would be just, my life would be my land and the land and the people.
I love that.
Making it all harmonious, you know.
So what would your perfect pub be like then down at this town that you walk to?
A lot of Christmas lights, you know. I love a pub with Christmas lights going about, you know.
Is it wooden interior?
Wooden bar, wooden interior, maybe a couple moose heads, you know, on the wall. Yeah. Even though I'm not into hunting, but these would be like, we found him on the side of the road and we put his head up.
Yeah. Like a leather, like a vintage leather jacket.
He died of natural causes.
You know those people that are like, oh, I would wear a leather jacket if it was vintage because they think it separates them from being the murderer.
Yeah, no, you're still, but the problem with that is you're still perpetuating it as a fashion.
I would like to see a moose head on the wall with a leather jacket hanging from its antlers.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. That's a cozy bar that I could get into.
It'd have a jukebox, old
Let's just
fashion.
Name it. What's the bar's name?
Tina's. You know, it's a name. And Tina works there, and she's been there forever, you know, and she's got a smoker's lung, you know.
Lots of stories.
Lots of stories.
Tina's stories.
But she's like a mother figure.
Oh, I love it.
You know, she's like, she's great, and her sons come back from wherever they are and visit, and they help out, you know, when they visit.
Is your actual mother there, or do you live vicariously through Tina's life?
Well, in Utopia, my mother would definitely be there. My mother died seven years ago, so I would be like, let's reinstate her soul and make her into a person again.
Oh my God, that's very nice. Yeah. I'm sorry to bring that up if I...
No, it's part of my life.
That's very nice. So
my mom would be like, she'd probably live on the ranch.
Yeah.
You know, in her own quarters. I would not have her in my own home. We would need some space.
Yeah.
And then she would...
said you had lots of places. Lots of...
Yeah, there's houses. There's the... and we name them, you know. There's like, you know, Sully's Creek. Down,
yeah.
You know. Named after Captain Sully in the Miracle on the Hudson.
Oh, nice.
I love him.
Do you? What's he doing now? He should be...
He's like a speaker. Like, I think he retired.
Yeah.
I don't think he was like, I ain't doing that shit again.
No kidding. Like, as much as he's a hero, the nerves would be shot, right?
Yeah.
Sully's Creek. I love it. That's nice.
Sully's Creek. She would live on Sully's Creek.
Okay.
In her own cabin. And she would be what she was in my life. She would be She would be the busybody of the town. She would be organizing things. She would be... Everybody loved her.
In my opinion, if you don't mind me saying, it's you come across to me as a busybody.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you get that from her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of my mom. I mean, I look like her. I have a ton of her personality.
Do you think that you're a workaholic by any chance?
Yeah.
Because the way you're talking about your projects, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a workaholic in that, it means everything to me. But and it consumes my life, you know?
Yeah. Cool.
But
so she's busybody running around town, like getting everyone organized.
Yeah. She would stay up all night, you know, doing something. 'Cause my mom, long story short, she was a housewife, and then my dad fucked up everything financially.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And shit. Everything changed, and
so he's not there.
No, my dad is not in Utopia. That is really bad.
I don't think he's going to listen this long into the podcast.
I don't think he's going to listen.
It's okay.
So.
Okay.
Oh, I feel bad for saying that. That's really mean, but
no,
true.
Just it's a
honest.
Joke.
I'm joking. Of course,
yeah,
he'd be
see?
There.
That's how you get it. You go, just kidding, and then you wink.
Just kidding. Move on. so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
she was running. Then she, after that happened, she took over.
She became, she couldn't get a work. It could really get a job because she was a nurse before, but it had been like 25 years
right.
and everything was, there were computers and shit. So right. she couldn't do it. So she just like to kind of fill her time, she started volunteering at a soup kitchen and made a whole network of friends and then started her own like Goodwill. Like she had a thrift shop. She
she
just drove around Richmond giving people food and clothes. Like she was, our Thanksgiving and Christmas days were spent driving to the projects and just giving stuff to people.
Wow.
No questions asked. We'd just walk
nice.
Around and be like, hey,
you're
do you want
not this? That, you don't seem like you're getting that emotional about it, but I am.
I am. No, it's
yeah, that's very
she
nice.
Was, she was, my mom had her faults, but she was amazing. And she did all of this in her 50s and she changed her life completely and she became who she was. She was a shadow before and now she was her own
that's
person.
So, that's very nice.
And it was
and it's
great.
Cool. And she's there. I love it.
Yeah.
That's
and
beautiful.
She's there and you know, and so I get a lot of that from her. I wish I was more charitable than her, but I am in my own way.
Nice. Well,
don't dedicate my whole life to it the way she did.
You know what? Yeah. Making hundreds of people laugh all the time.
Hundreds.
A night.
No.
And hundreds a night.
Hundreds
I have
total.
Made hundreds of people laugh.
mm-hmm.
No, I mean like per night. Hundreds
Thank
of people.
Thank you. Making, that's a vast overestimation.
Yeah. Thousands and thousands of people.
Tens of people per night.
Well, you just did, four shows at the Comedy Bar?
Yeah.
That's they pack more than 100 in there, I think.
No, I don't know. Well, I didn't
maybe 100?
I had one show that was packed out.
Oh, okay.
The rest were more lightly attended, but
that's January.
But not empty.
That's good
I
for
mean,
January, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I love the challenge.
It's unbearably cold here in Toronto, by the way. It's not always this bad right now.
It's not too bad. I mean, I haven't been out in the elements that much, so.
Yeah. I guess New York gets almost the same weather.
Yeah,
sometimes.
In New York, you're on foot. As you know, you were on foot today walking around. It's different when you have to get your own body to and from places using your muscles.
Yeah. How would you get around in this Montana-scape, beautiful, utopian world?
Definitely have a bright red pickup truck, for sure.
Yeah.
And
Wesley in the back just petting a horse.
Yeah. Wesley.
He just accompanies you.
With a white horse.
He waits outside of Tina's with the horse. Yeah.
And I got like a, I don't know, I have a golf cart too. I love golf carts.
Oh, wicked.
You know.
Yeah, golf carts really endeared themselves to me after that time when Bill Murray got busted drunk driving one.
Yeah.
Did you ever read about that? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's so
I was like,
funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing to do. Okay, what kind of food? Let's go to more fun. What kind of food would you have there in this town?
Well, there'll be a lot of artisanal stuff.
Yeah, of course. That's
you know,
hot right now.
Biodynamic, organic gardening. And a lot of stuff off my own land. I have a garden in LA now, and I love that. I love eating something I made. It was an experience that really, like, opened my eyes to a lot of things in terms of, like,
where do you live in LA, by the way?
In Silver Lake.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Nice. And, that I loved, I found that very rewarding and like just to cook something you grew.
Yeah.
At first it was weird. At first I had a zucchini. It was like the first thing that came in and I tasted it and I was like, I kind of was grossed out by it because it, in my mind, it seemed dirty because it
right.
came directly from the dirt. And I said, how screwed up. This is probably the cleanest vegetable I have ever eaten.
Isn't
in my
that
life.
Weird?
Because I did everything, no chemicals in this garden whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it disturbed me that I thought something from the grocery store was cleaner in my mind. And then as soon as I made that as soon as I realized that, then that went away. And I was like, this is so fresh and delicious tasting. Like, I don't even know what vegetables tasted like before I grew my own.
And they don't have the preserved, weird, cold, like...
They harvest...
They have a different texture. They're a little bit mushier sometimes.
They harvest... Traditionally, especially fruit and bananas in particular, because they have to come from so far away, that they harvest food way too soon before it's ripe, because it has to make it from Mexico or whatever to wherever you are. And then so that, you know, you're getting a banana. I mean, most people buy bananas that are almost green, which if you lived down there, you would never eat, you know, you'd never pick it. That soon you would let it be ripe on the tree and then eat it, and it would be delicious.
You said tree. I almost in my head I was like, yeah, you,
it's a tree. Banana trees are kind of banana plantations. I've seen them because I went to Honduras one time, and they are really creepy looking because it's just rows of banana trees. And then someone told me that the bigot, like these huge ass spiders, live in the trees, and they're called bird spiders because they eat birds. That's
what
how big they
about?
Are. That's
do
how
they
big
spin
they
a web that catches birds?
I don't know what they
or
hide.
Or do they catch
they
them
hide
with their
in
hands?
The bananas. I have no idea.
They're like spiders with hands.
I can't even.
I'm looking it up. Bird spider.
I mean, that could have been a lore thing that was told to me when I was there.
Beware
but I was,
the bird spider of Honduras.
I was creeped out.
That's too
real
much.
Real creeped out.
Yeah,
just
that's
were spooky. I thought because of that, I thought banana plantations were spooky.
I would just think that one's in my hair like all the time.
Yeah, well, there was a
bird spider.
Ton.
You know what I mean?
That was another. I was only 19 when I went, I was the entire trip terrified, but I felt. I it changed my life, and I've noticed that when I do things that are that's why I do comedy. You know, when I do things that scare me, I feel alive.
Yeah, I was just talking about that with someone recently. It's like the things that scare me these days. That's why I feel like I should do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to just avoid it.
Well, me too. I mean, and we're talking. You have to understand my level of fear is very high. So like. I, you know,
would you go skydiving?
No, I would not do that. Fuck that. No.
But what about facing your fear?
That I don't need to face that fear. For me, it's like, hey, let's, trespass.
I don't like that. Yeah.
That's fucking terrifying to me. I'm getting in trouble.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I'm not an adrenaline junkie by any means, but I am definitely someone who, you know, my fears are different, and the ones that I can confront are different than most people. Like, you know, I'm not going to be like, yeah, let's go skiing. No.
Oh, really? I'm
no,
going skiing
you.
Next week.
No, thank you.
Okay. So a lot of homegrown organic food.
Yeah. There would be a great pizza place in town too. Cause pizza is my favorite food.
Nice.
And,
me too.
You know,
well,
they would just do it right. You know,
do you like Indian food?
Actually, it's the one type of food that I can't do it.
Oh my God.
And sushi.
We
but
have
I like
good
sushi.
Indian food in Toronto.
Yeah,
but don't
I mean,
worry
I've
about
eaten
it.
Indian
don't
food that
it.
I liked, but I just, a lot of it is mushy and I can't deal with it.
You need some crisp to it, some crackle.
I need something with some bite to it.
Well, pizza, you know? Yeah. You guys had the best pizza in New York for sure. You probably tried all the best.
I did try a lot. I was married to a man that.
You were married?
I was married, yes. I was married to a man that was obsessed with pizza, and we went to all the best places, so I definitely...
How long were you married for?
3 years, but we were together for 10 years.
Were you... it was like a young thing?
Yeah, we met in college.
It was the first one.
Yeah, he was the first everything. And then I was like, what do other penises look like?
And you, he was like, please try this pizza just one more time. And you're like, it's over.
Yeah. No.
No more pizza.
Well, he was a foodie. And I wouldn't describe myself as a foodie. I love eating out. I love the experience of restaurants, but it could be a terrible restaurant.
Me too.
And I'm fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
He was a food snob, like a real foodie. And he was the type that was like when I remember when the Cronut came out. Do you remember the Cronut?
Yes. I didn't
try
it.
It was based in New York and there were lines out the door every day. And it was a hysteria. And I remember thinking, I know that he is in that line because he's that person that goes and wants to taste the trend. And I was like, I don't want to wait in line for my food. Like that. Like, that isn't worth it to me. Like, that is annoying as hell. Like, it's not, nothing is that good.
Yeah, your craving for Cronut, it can go away pretty fast if you see the line.
Yeah, I'm, That call me lazy, whatever, but.
Okay, so that's good. We have a nice pizza place. Mm-hmm. We got Tina's, which is beautiful yeah. wooden area. With
yeah,
the,
you know what else I imagine there being like in the wintertime?
Yeah, add anything.
You take and this is something that someone told me about when I was in Aspen. One time I went to Aspen.
Not skiing.
I was there for the comedy festival back when they
did
it.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always wanted to do that.
I was there the last year they did it.
That, I was disappointed about that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I mean, it was so fun.
Nice.
And the people I was there with were like, well, so apparently there's this like secret place where you can take a horse-drawn sled, you know, back into the woods and go to this restaurant, you know, and I was like, what? Like, I want to be a part of that. Like, that's cool. Like,
did you do it?
Or no, it was like, I was really sick when I was there.
Oh.
And also like, we didn't have time. It could have been I also went to Sundance one year. It was in a ski town that I was being told about this like place. And you know, I was like, and I think also,
what did the person look like that told you?
Ski. You had to be able to ski to get to it and meet the thing. It was some whole thing that you had to do. And it was like, oh, man, that's probably for, like, rich people. And,
yeah.
You know, you get in there and Jay-Z and Beyonce are in there probably. And, like, you know.
Like, yeah, just, wearing, like, really nice sweaters.
But they get helicoptered over. They don't have to ski anywhere.
Yeah, I would like to see Jay-Z ski.
I think they ski.
Really?
Well, they had some pictures posted.
With, like, a sideways New York hat on.
Yeah. Beyonce posted some pictures where they were, like, all up in ski garb.
Really?
They were in Iceland, I think.
Oh,
and they
cool.
were,
you know, of course.
Yeah.
Why not?
Just hop on over.
Skiing is the best. I'm going on this trip because my friend got a really, really good deal. But I feel really almost dumb because I'm not.
Cause You're not good?
I'm good. My family grew up skiing, right? But then I didn't for most of my 20s and early 30s because I'm a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to get the money to go on a ski trip? So now I'm going on this ski trip and I feel like, am I weirdly pretending I'm rich or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm going to take advantage of it and go. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. you definitely have to. Like last year, like a friend of mine was going to Hawaii. And they invited Scott and I, and they got this really nice house, and it was just like, all you have to do is get there. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm making it happen. Like,
and you did know. Do it.
Yeah, it was
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing. If someone's like, you got to get, our generation needs to be hooked up.
I know. I just realized.
We are not a wealthy generation.
No, I know.
Like, we're all screwed. I want to do a Hawaii trip where a bunch of us spend the days learning to surf. Like, it's a learn-to-surf trip.
I saw people learning to surf, and I was like, no.
So you wouldn't even do that?
No, but I, well.
Is that a fear thing, though, or is that just an athletic thing?
I'm not a big water sports person, and waves, I just had too many big wipeouts growing up in the waves that I was just like, the ocean is out of control, and I, again, like to be in control.
Oh, I see the theme now.
No, but I also don't have the stamina. Like, I'm not a great swimmer, you know. Like,
that'd be amazing if you could control the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Just be like, calm down.
Yeah, let me ride you.
Hawaii, though, like, we were in Kauai, which was beautiful. It was like Jurassic Park. It was like they shot some of those aerial shots of the mountains. That's like, it looks like Jurassic Park.
Oh, cool.
It's very, very beautiful and more, less resorty and urban looking, and it's just more wild.
Yeah.
And it was that would be part of my utopia. I would have
island getaway,
a sister ranch on Kauai.
Yeah, wicked.
But it was so amazing. I was like, it just was so beautiful, and the food was so fresh. And like, for me, like the fear thing that we did was like we went on a hike, and it was like really grueling, but like worth it, and all those things, you know. And you're on the side of a cliff, and you're like, oh my god, but. The oceans in Hawaii, I'd never been to, you know.
Yeah.
Barely even been to the West Coast, but they're really rough, especially in the winter. And, like, there's a lot of beaches you're not supposed to even get ankle deep. And there was one beach we went to that was, like, famous for being really rough. But we didn't really know that. It says don't swim. So we were like, okay, don't swim.
Yeah.
It was like, don't even go near the water, because when we were standing there, all of a sudden, and there was rocks, like, you know, like formations in the water.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I mean, it seemed very calm. And then all of a sudden, maybe 10 minutes had gone by, a wave came and it went probably 40 feet in the air when it hit that rock. And it was so rough. And it hit my legs like shin deep, and it was so strong. because it was such a strong wave that I was like, I could have been knocked over just standing here.
Yeah.
Toes in the water. It was like, no, you need to stay away from the beach.
The like, ocean's like wild for real.
Yeah. And the people that I was with, two of them went and got up on this rock. And I was like, I told my boyfriend, I was like, if you go on that rock, I will break up with you. I cannot see you die.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to
by
me?
Just being on a rock.
And they were up there and a fairly big wave hit. And it was scary because like it was washing over the rock and that probably became very slippery at that time, you know, and it was like, I was like, get off of there, you know, like,
are the people that just moved there.
Or no, they got these the house. Are friends.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
oh, they rented the house?
Yeah, I was like, please get off of there, and, you know, they get down, and then this surfer comes over, he was just sitting on the beach, he's like, I have seen two people die on that rock, so you need to get off of it right now.
Oh my God, that's
so scary.
And then
as we were sitting there, another wave came on that specific rock that was so massive that if they had been standing there, they would have been swept away and killed. I mean, that's too much for me. I mean, it bothered me the rest of the trip. I was like, how dare you? Because I was so, I was like, fine, if you want to die, that's your choice. But why would you make me watch that?
So did that make you tense for the whole trip?
No, I mean, but I was like, for the rest of it, I was like, don't you fucking go near that rock. You know, like,
you know what's funny? You have these like thrilling tales of adventure,
but
you're standing on the outside being like, be careful, look out.
I've been that my whole life. I was the girl. I mean, there was the movie Annie. The old one, not the new one.
Yeah.
The movie Annie, there was a girl in it that would always go, oh my goodness, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was her growing up. I was worried about people being injured. I'd be like, get down from there. You're going to hurt yourself. And I would get so tense because I didn't want people to be hurt.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice personality trait.
It's scary when someone gets hurt, you know.
Yeah. Well, I remember I used to get upset when other kids were getting in trouble when I was like a little kid. I just wanted everyone to be happy.
Yeah. Getting in trouble was a big thing and still is for me. I'm super nervous. Like, my boyfriend right now is trying... He's, like, got this plan to get revenge on someone that, like, hurt me. And he's like, it's going to be harmless. They'll never know. But I'm going to do it months from now. And he has this whole plan. And I'm like, that's really adorable that you want to do that for me. But also, I am terrified.
Right. Don't get in trouble.
It's like signing this person up for like mailing lists. Like, you know, something innocent, but they like won't even know what hit them. They won't know it came from him. But I'm just like, no, don't do that. You know, like,
I would say let him do it. And then you would be embracing your fear.
I know. We were talking about revenge. Because I'm not a vengeful person.
Yeah.
My revenge is being happy, usually, or succeeding.
Right, right.
Or winning, you know, an award. Or, you know, like, I'd be like, I just showed you.
Yeah.
Those people aren't even looking. They don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's for me. But I've started to wonder if, because those things, like the victory that you have, like when someone has hurt you, like say professionally, like someone has stabbed you in the back or betrayed you or whatever.
Yeah.
And you think... The running advice is you'll get your revenge by being successful and showing them, and you'll have a great career, and like, you know, whether or not that person ever notices or cares, it's for you.
Right.
And eventually I found those things do happen. You get a moment where you go, aha, I won.
Yeah.
You know, eventually you get it. And your brain decides that's the moment. But I thought, what if you could take control and give yourself that moment by doing a little act of revenge? Something menacing.
So now you are on the side of like a little revenge.
I'm wondering if innocent, because I was thinking about that whole thing with glitter now.
Yeah.
There's like glittergrams where you send somebody, which is, it is pretty maniacal. Like,
that's terrible.
You get glitter all over everything when you open an envelope, and then it's like, God damn it. And it's just annoying.
It's pretty funny. But
how psycho are you that you would go through with that?
Right.
Like, what? But then I was like, you know what?
It's not satisfying because you still have that anger forever.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, again, I go back to, you know, it's more just revenge is about you getting over something. In the end of the day, that's what you want. And you want the other person to suffer. But at the end, you just want to move on.
Right.
That's what you mentally need.
Yeah.
And people think that if the other person suffers, that will make you feel better. But I don't know if it does.
I don't know. If it does, then you're sort of like a psychopath, right?
Exactly. So I'm like asking my boyfriend, I'm like, but he's doing it on my behalf. So it's more fun for him.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, for him, it's fun. Yeah. Because he doesn't give a shit about
anyone listening to this is going to that knows me and be like, who is it? It's
yeah.
It's nobody. It's like it's not even anyone that people know. But,
just some like guy at a pizza place.
Yeah.
One time
I mean,
that
it's
was
just
like,
something very insignificant.
We
like
don't
that.
Have a veggie
yeah.
slice left. I'm sorry.
I'm going to get you.
Yeah. You'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we could wrap it up soon. We've discussed some stuff and we've gone off topic, but it's all been very fun. Are you having fun?
I am.
Okay, cool. I just want to, I know, okay, you're not going to do stand up there because that will be in your utopian world. Forget it. You don't need to anymore.
Mm-mm.
You're relaxed.
Yeah.
Here in your heaven there, whatever. What kind of entertainment would you have on these ranches?
Oh, I feel
ranches?
Like there would be talent shows at Tina's.
Oh, yeah?
Where
like
everybody
just local
would,
people?
Yeah, would do their... I love... Growing up at my church, they would do an annual talent show, and it was so fun because it was like all... It was like your people getting up doing things out of character for them. So,
yeah.
Like, I always loved... The thing I loved about the talent show is that, like... My, like the Sunday school teachers, the men, you know, that were, I only saw them in suits would get up and do funny sketches and like
right.
be funny and loose. And I love that. I love that. I love an old fashioned talent show.
Cool.
You know,
so it'd be like
somebody who seemed uptight gets up there and is like playing the banjo and you're like, oh, I didn't even know you could do that. You know, I love that. I love
yeah.
That.
Nice little revealing thing for a character that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah. So a talent show. And I think, you know, there'd be just a lot of entertaining.
Entertaining. Like parties with hors d'oeuvres?
Dinner parties and things like that. You know, just come over and hang out.
I think I'm really hungry. I'm, like, actually thinking of hors d'oeuvres right now.
Yeah, get some little pigs in a blanket, you know.
Well, I didn't have a show this Saturday, and a friend of ours invited us, my wife and I, who's also a comedian, and another couple over to his place, cooked us the best meal, made these, like, special meals, special cocktails, you know, hors d'oeuvres before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I forgot about how fun this stuff is, too.
Yeah.
Because, right, being a comedian, that becomes your social life, too.
Yeah.
It's like shows and all that
you
stuff.
You have to have balance.
Yeah, just that entertaining with guests and, oh, my God, so relaxing.
You get it. Sometimes I get around certain comedians and I'm like, you need to have a life.
Yeah.
You're too, it's usually like a comedian that's like 6 or 7 years in.
All business, right?
Usually a guy.
Yeah.
But it can be a girl, too. But they're just like. No, I'm doing like 7 sets tonight. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to a movie. You know?
Yeah.
Like I'm, I'm.
Well,
I'm
they won't
right.
generate good material if they're just performing all the
right.
time too, because then
not
they're
exposed
not
to anything.
Getting any new experiences.
But also, I think there is obviously it's to each his own. Seriously, your process is your process. But
yeah.
I think there's sometimes pressure from in New York, especially. There's a lot of pressure to do things a certain way.
Yeah.
And to have you done this show, or have you been to Montreal, or have you done this? You know, and it's like
right.
you've got to do that. And it's like I don't care. And you don't have to do anything a certain way. But you know, there's some people who be like, oh, it's stage time. You got to have as much stage time as possible. And, you know, do 6 sets a night, you know. And
yeah.
These guys are sort of heralded, and some women, too, are heralded as heroes. And it's like, well, actually, you know, for me, it's about quality. So, like, if I go and I work really hard on one set for the night and I write and I, you know, listen to the set back after and I process it and all that stuff. That actually has been more helpful to me than doing a night where I'm running around to different shows and just being more of a robot.
Right. I'm more on that side of things as well.
Yeah.
I those guys that are like, in Toronto, it's not, I know that about New York, but in Toronto, it is like you can do 2 to 3 sets a night.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that are doing that constantly, it's like sometimes you do think like, well, you're doing all these sets all the time, but.
What is it really doing?
Like. Do you notice, like, how well you're doing at these sets?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you ever grow that way?
Yeah.
It almost becomes this, like, notch under the belt for being busy, but you're right, the quality's not there.
Yeah. I think it's like, if there's comedians listening and you ever feel pressured, like, or that someone's like, oh, you're not as serious about it as I am, it does not mean that.
Right.
It's about you know, your focus.
Do it like, your own way. I only really get into the real crunch like that if, like, you have a big showcase.
Yeah, and you want to memorize, you want to make sure it's tight, you know, and all that stuff. Yeah.
Other than that, have a dinner party, because I forgot why we got into this.
Have a dinner party.
Entertain. Have some friends
on
over.
Your ranch.
Make your own guacamole. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Get that. Get the bowl, the stone bowl, mortar and pistol.
Yeah, I gotta, yeah, we do have to
mush it up.
I'm just getting so hungry. And I watched you eat that delicious turkey sandwich, too.
I know you did.
Lucky duck. It was really good. Well, anything else you want to add? It's a really nice place. You want to...
Yeah, and I think just in the world in general, there would be no war. There would be no more racism.
Yeah.
Which is...
Oh, really? Most of my guests are like, tons more racism, please.
No.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah. Wow. Who are you interviewing?
Just a bunch of weirdos.
No. No racism. No poverty. You know, I think there are things that could be
better. 3,000 people... That's a pretty self-sustaining planet.
We take care of each other.
Yeah.
You know? It's a very small planet.
Yeah.
yeah. And it's diverse.
Yeah.
There's... the mayor is transgendered.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total acceptance.
That's what the planet could be called. It could just be called diverse as fuck.
It's not perfect, because perfect would be boring. But, like, there's drama in the town sometimes. There's political stuff and egos, but it's all for the greater good. Everyone wants the same thing.
Right. They work itself out because they communicate.
Exactly. We have our talent show, and then everything's better.
Yeah. Everyone releases, like...
Oh, and everyone's Christian. No, just kidding. Jesus lives there.
Actual Jesus.
Jesus comes back and is like, you guys, you are the only ones that got it.
Yeah, what I miss here at Tina's. And everyone's like, hey, Jesus.
Hey, Jesus, come on in, man. What you been doing today? You know, walking on water.
Nice. Well, it's a very nice world that you created there. It's a Montana Vista Escape. Mm-hmm. Like, I always keep saying Vista, but that's why I picture
those
big...
There's vistas all over the place. Everywhere you look is a vista.
Is a vista. And, Wesley, taking care of the animals, wearing nothing except for sometimes he wears a nice pea coat in the winter. And you have the Hawaiian Island Escape.
Mm-hmm.
Tina's, little town, nice pizza shop. Your own garden.
Sully's Creek.
Sully's Creek. Yeah, that's where your mom lives.
Yeah.
What else? 3,000 people. Lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Entertainment and the talent shows.
Mm-hmm. We got it covered.
What do you think? Do you feel good about that?
I feel good about that. And I actually feel like it could be something tangible for me in my life.
Yeah, totally.
If everything goes really well for the next 10 years.
But you know what? You're in L.A. Mm-hmm. You're working on these new shows now, right?
Yeah.
Just think, if it does get stressful for a sec, go to that place in your mind.
I do. I did that on the plane the other day.
Sweet.
Because I was getting stressed out.
Yeah.
So I was like, happy place.
Are you taking Porter back? No, I guess you go to...
I don't know.
No, you're going to L.A. Never mind.
No, I'm going to New York. I don't know what airport I'm...
Okay. Because you're actually really close to an airport.
I know.
Right
I
now.
Keep seeing planes fly by.
Yeah.
I was I didn't
airport?
Go to that airport. That was a really long drive. If so.
Yeah, then probably not. You're going to Pearson.
Yeah,
but there is one that goes to New York right there.
Yeah.
I wrapped it up all tight, and then I started talking about an airport. Who cares? Real life, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming on and giving me the time and having me down at the Weston Harbor Castle here in Toronto.
Yeah.
And enjoy your album recording, which is coming up this Wednesday.
Yep.
This is going to come out the week after.
Oh, well.
But everybody, when you look out for Sarah Schaefer's album and pick it up when it comes out.
It's going to be called Chrysalis.
Awesome.
Which has meaning that you can figure out on your own. It's to whoever, it's whatever you want it to mean.
I like that. A stand-up comedy album that means whatever you
It feel. Has meaning to me, but I think people can probably figure it out on their own.
Especially when they listen to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So go listen to it when it comes out.
Get it. Yeah.
All right. Good luck with that. And thanks so much again.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. And that was Sarah Schaefer. Sarah, if you listen to your own podcast, thanks so much again for coming on. It was a lot of fun. And you guys, look, keep an eye out for her new album coming out and also follow her at Sarah Schaefer 1 on Twitter. She's super funny and super cool. And that's it. That's another one for us. Stay healthy. Follow us at Utopia to Me. And, go look for... it's new. It's a new-ish podcast, so the numbers aren't as hardcore as I want on Twitter yet, So get them up there. Follow us. You know, it's mostly updates, but maybe I'll think of something special. I don't know. Maybe I'll show you. I'll attach turkey recipes to my tweets. Who knows? But follow me, too, at ChrisLockFun. And, you know, that Twitter account's healthy. I'm always joking. If you follow me, you already know that I'm insane and I should probably get out of the house. But you guys are awesome. Thanks so much for listening again. Thanks again to Sarah. And stay alive and do karate kicks in the sunlight. Enjoy the planet and say peace to a cat. Thank you. Bye. We'll be right back.